Hello, and welcome to the Equality, Diversity and Inclusivity podcast in conjunction with Pride Month. My name is Alex Pearson, and this is the first episode in a three-part series all about why Pride is important and an opportunity to share some of our experiences where discrimination and inequality has taken place in our lifetime. Throughout the series, I am joined by five guests: Transformation and Customer Director George Mallon, Director of People Simona Ricketts, Senior Customer Service Advisor Alex Dick, Quality and Compliance Manager Andrew Quirk, and Contract Manager Charlotte Kinnaird. So first of all, why is Pride important to you?
I think one of the things that stands out for me is why Pride is still important is that it does help shine a light on some of the injustices that we, as you know, the LGBT plus community still face. And also it gives us an opportunity to challenge any of the legislation that makes it more difficult for people in that community to be able to live their, you know, their normal life. And for me, when I was looking at this, and I'm going to give my age away now, you know, I'm 41 now, but over the course of the last 40 years, there's been some real significant change when it comes to legislation of LGBT plus people. You know, if we look at the 80s, you know, Section 28 was introduced in, you know, 1988, and that had such a detrimental impact on so many children growing up, myself included, because teachers were just not allowed to discuss anything related to the topic. And if you're going through a change as a child and you're not sure how you feel and you can't really talk to your family, it was a really isolating time. But yet it took till 2003 for that to be repealed. So a lot of children went through school not knowing, you know, who they could talk to or that they were okay. And that had significant impact. You know, in the 90s, the legal age of consent was still not aligned to heterosexual people. That only changed in 2001. You know, there was the bombing in the 90s of the Admiral Duncan pub by the BNP, and 1997 was like the first time we had an out lesbian MP. You know, in the noughties, as people called them, you know, gay people were only allowed to join the armed forces in the noughties. Same-sex couples were only granted the right to adopt, the same as heterosexual couples, and the Civil Partnership Act was passed, given same-sex couples the same rights and responsibilities. And then when you get into like the 10s or the 20s, you know, in the 10s, you know, same-sex marriage became legal. And in the 20s, we're 2 years in now, the first same-sex marriage happens in Northern Ireland. So there's been so many, I think, you know, opportunities for, you know, improving the lives of LGBT plus people, and legislation still needs to move forward. You know, only this year, you know, in the Queen's speech was, you know, a commitment to ban conversion therapy in 2021. So I just think for me, Pride is all of the celebration of who we are as people, which is great, but it really gives an opportunity to shine a light on the injustices that still some of the legislation carries in the UK, and especially if you look around the world as well, where it's still illegal in some other countries. So it's really important to me that Pride happens, and Pride Month is that perfect opportunity to put things on the forefront.
You know, I would echo what George just said. And to me, I can come to the debate from two different perspectives, really. One is from the organizational perspective. As the director of people, I obviously want all the people we employ, irrespective of their background or their creed, to feel safe, valued and included within liberty. And that comes across every single protected characteristic there is. But also, I am very acutely aware of what George has been referring to. Looking at my own experience and my background, although I do not belong to the LGBTI community, I come from a country that is not really open. And if you compare the differences between the two countries and the legislation as it is, in UK, although there is, as George said, there is a long way still to go in comparison to other countries, it's quite advanced, but it's still not where it is. And again, I'll be giving my age away. I have friends from the community, and I've got friends who were involved in a number of campaigns. And almost the younger generations of today don't necessarily understand what hardship and how hard they had to fight for the basic rights that we take for granted in this, you know, in this environment. So that is, that's why it is very important for me. And also because I do have access to all of our data and all of our statistics, our, the declaration of our LGBTI community across Liberty is very low. And I'm interested why. And that, that's something that really bothers me to a certain extent, because I like to think that we are very open and very, very inclusive employer, but that's where I'm coming from. So what I'm hoping to achieve and what I'm hoping that's going to happen, that going forward over the next few months in Liberty, we maybe can have a bit of a more open conversation, trying to understand how people actually feel, because currently we think we know how it feels for somebody to be employed with in Liberty, but we don't really know. So as a result of that, we are looking to go for accreditation and work with the National Center of Diversity, who's going to carry out an anonymous survey among all of our staff, including as well as our suppliers and clients, to give us a good 360 view of how people actually feel and give them that little bit of comfort. They can go and talk to us anonymously, and then we can use that data to put some improvement in place and just to make sure that we really are the inclusive employer that we are striving to be.
It's basically taken years for it all to come together, because when I was growing up, Pride and anything to do with Pride, with the religious indoctrination that I was put through at a younger age, was not a good thing. And I'm glad that it's gone past all of that, and now that it is just as welcome and just as accepted as a lot of other things in society, which has been accepted, and no longer a thing of, well, Pride is something that's over there. That is no longer an issue now. Now Pride is just as much as everything to everybody as everything else, and it should have been, you know. So I'm glad social media has helped us to get to that level, because if it wasn't for social media and the people saying we're not going to listen to that anymore, what we've been taught from when we were young, we're now going to listen to the actual people that are part of Pride, who tell us that actually, what's your problem? There isn't one. That's the whole point. So, and now that everyone can clearly see there never was a problem, it makes it all the more important for us to just uphold it as much as we would uphold everything else.
Yeah, just from my perspective, really powerful listening to what George said, and you know, the journey that, that has happened so far, and perhaps some of the things that it needs to do. Just from my own experience, I think, you know, when I was in school, living in St. Helens, which is a very, very northern industrial town. And if someone in my group of friends when I was in school had tried to speak to us about coming out as homosexual, I'd like to think I'd been supportive, but if I'm being completely honest, I know exactly what me and my group of friends would have said and the way we would have treated that person. You know, going to school in the 80s, you know, nobody in our school came out and was openly gay, and there must have been people. And having a son now who's you know, 14, he's going to be 15 this year, Pride to me is about making things better and making people comfortable where they can have those conversations and not feel that they're going to be treated or discriminated against in a negative way. And for me on this call, because when I was initially invited, I declined because I'm white, middle-aged, heterosexual, and male. So I've never been discriminated against for any of my characteristics. So for me, listening to George was actually really powerful, because I'm here to learn, to be honest, more than anything else.
It's brilliant that George had all them dates stored in his brain, just reeling them off. That was brilliant. I mean, from my sort of age perspective as well, I'm only 24, so 10 years ago going through school, like, there wasn't really that much spoken about sort of gay rights, LGBTQ plus people at all, really. I don't really know if the education system's changed much since then, but I think a long way has gone even since I was at school. So I guess the country is improving in that aspect, but there's obviously still a lot of a lot more to do.
You know, on that note, Alex, actually, from my personal experience, I've got a young daughter who is just going to be joining secondary school in September. She was in a primary school and one day she came home and she, you know, the children like to play with each with other children. And she was seven. And she said, "Oh, mommy, I'm going to marry Hannah when we grow up." Oh, fine, that's perfectly fine. But Mrs. Callaghan at school said, "I'm not allowed to do it because I can't marry another girl." And I stood there, and that's not that long ago. She's 11 now. And I was thinking, that is so wrong. But I had to take my phone and demonstrate to my daughter through pictures of my friends on Facebook that she indeed can marry Hannah, if that was the case, and it's perfectly acceptable thing to do. And I think that is quite horrific, because I do believe that this kind of thing still goes on, and it goes on behind closed doors. And I was quite taken aback, because from my perspective, and again, whilst I don't belong to that community, I'm aware of it, it's going on. But, you know, to me, that's kind of something normalized. That's not something I would even give a second thought, but clearly it's still happening in the society. And that's quite worrying.
Definitely. I agree with that. When looking at the question, I looked at it in my own lifetime. You know, you can go further back, can't you? You can look at other countries. You can certainly look at what you know, based on your own lived experience, isn't it? And, you know, listening to both, you know, yourself, Alex, but also your child's experience, Simona, you know, it is ongoing. And just, I think for me that it just reinforces the need as to why pride is important, and, you know, why we need to ensure that people feeling, you know, are as included. You know, we talk about, you know, gay rights or this, that and the other, but, you know, trans rights are very much up there and at the forefront of a lot of companies and issues, and also legislative changes as well.
No, I would agree with that, George. And also what I have seen quite a lot recently is because the landscape is changing in terms of equality, diversity and inclusion as well. And the way how it's changing is there is, as you say, there is a lot of trans rights that are being brought to the forefront right now as well. And also is people's understanding and their misunderstanding about the differences. What people often get confused with is a gender identity and biological sex. And that's maybe something we might need to concentrate on as a company, just to educate people so they do actually understand the differences. And it is not something to be ashamed of, because if you do not understand, just ask the be able to explain it. There is a number of materials out there. So I think from my perspective, people just need to be open to educating themselves. But also we have a bit of a responsibility to make sure that we'll give them access to that information and help them to understand. That would be my view. I'm not sure what anybody else thinks.
When you think about it, a lot of young people back in my day, it was enforced. You didn't have a choice. It was a case of, this is what it is. It was in the music, it was in the everyday, it was in, I mean, in retrospect, it's funny when I say this, I suppose Black people are the first to go on about racism, but then the first to say something in a song that detriments a gay person. Mm-hmm. And you think, well, you're doing to them what's being done to you. Don't you see the mirror image of it, you know? And when I used to say that to them, it used to be a shock to them, because I think, but you're a Black person. I go, yeah. But every time you say something detrimental to a gay person, that's like somebody saying a racist slur to you. How does that make you feel? It's bad, isn't it? Yeah. So how do you think it makes it feel to them if you're saying things detrimental to them? You know? So yeah, I'm glad I made that stance, because you know, it was the difference between keeping that indoctrination and then passing it on, or breaking the chain. So, all good.
You know, listening to Andrew say that, you know, he's not faced any of the, you know, the issues, you know, as a white heterosexual straight male, but then, you know, still being on this call is that opportunity to grow, isn't it? You know, and I think that's what we need to normalize. That's what needs to be, the direction that we take, for me.
Education is key. As you said, like, it's still illegal to be gay in 71 countries. I mean, that's appalling. Like, I'm lucky, like, I grew up in the 80s as well. I'm probably the oldest person on here. So 52 next week. So, and being gay then, I had experiences more like Andrew. One of my best friends was actually gay. He went out with a friend. He for 10 years, and then he came home one day and just said, I'm gay. He met a guy who was in the police. So the policeman wasn't allowed to tell his company he was gay because he would have got sacked. And in the end, they were together longer than any of my relationships. And unfortunately, the guy died suddenly, but they'd been together 25 years and he didn't get any life insurance or anything, his partner, because he hadn't told where he worked that he was gay. And it's just sad. So hearing George speaking, how far we've come is fantastic. I was due to go to my first same-sex wedding last week, and I think that's fantastic. Like, you know, how far we've come since I was a child, really, and it's a norm. We don't even question it. I'm just pleased to be part of this, and moving forward, you know, I would always, education is key. We all need to know the struggles everyone has had.
Thank you for listening to episode one. Up next, we will be talking about whether we feel society is becoming a more inclusive place for the LGBTQ+ community and people from different ethnic groups. See you there.